Hallelujah. Who gives you strength? Jesus. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. This morning as I was praying and seeking the Lord, and he just spoke to my heart, and he said, this is where it starts. This is where we're built up. This is where we are encouraged. This is where we are gathered together, and one strengthens another. This is I need this. Okay? I need this. Because I pray, yes, and it's wonderful. I can worship anytime, and it's wonderful. But there's a reason that Paul said, forsake not the assembling of one another together. You know? I mean, Jesus gathered his 12. He gathered, you know, I was thinking too about how really fortunate it is, you know, we can all gather in one place. We could sit down at a table and have a meal together. You know, we have that. I think about, you know, churches that have 3,000 people, a service for four services. Where do they potluck? And maybe they do. Maybe they do, but it's like a giant buffet. And I'm not knocking that at all, but I just feel really fortunate that we can and that we get built up. We get strengthened, you know. Feel the filling, the Lord said this morning. Feel the filling. As we were worshiping when we began worshiping, as we were warming up, feel the filling. Feel the filling. Feel the filling. Feel the filling. Because he's filling. You know? Jesus breathed on the disciples and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And they didn't know what he was talking about. We do. We know what he's talking about. You know, I got a text on Wednesday on the way home. I think it was Wednesday on the way home from jail, and this one female inmate said, "Are you going to be here for the girls on Friday?" I wrote back and said I was there today. Well, then later she said, "Will you be here on Wednesday?" I said, "Yes, I'll be here on Wednesday." "Where were you last Wednesday?" "Oh, I get so much pain sometimes that I just didn't feel like doing anything." I get that. But at the same time, she said, "Well, I hope I can make time to be there Wednesday, to be built up, because I really believe. And I hope I can make time. She's in jail. All she has to do is get up and come to chapel when they say, chapel. But you know what? That's not so different from a lot of people that would say they are Christians. You know? I believe. I hope I can make time. And I understand, we live in a world that's full of stuff, but you know what? If we can't make time to fellowship together, can we make time to read our Bible? Maybe. Maybe not. Proportionately, you know, maybe not. I don't know. I'm just asking. Like I said, I started today with questions. Probably be a good thing if I remember to take these out of my bag. I did remember to get them over here. And they were questions to me, not questions to anybody else. It came today. Well, wonderful, wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful. We've been having interesting things with the website. You got it too. It's flying. Hallelujah. What a miracle. What a wonderful, wonderful thing. What a wonderful, wonderful thing. What a wonderful, wonderful thing. You'll just absorb that. Hallelujah. That's right. There we go. So I was asking me, are you glorifying God? Are you manifesting what is in you? Do Do you want to? Do you want this more than anything else in life? Well, as I said, I can absolutely say, absolutely, with everything that I can imagine, that's what I want. But as I was asking these questions of myself and considering them with God, you know, that question, hallelujah, that question of, are you glorifying God? Well, I hope right now I got that handled. I'm glorifying God. But that's a question that needs to come immediately to my mind when I'm on the verge of not glorifying God. When my thoughts lean toward something that isn't glorifying God, when my actions lean toward something that isn't glorifying God, is it important enough to me to stop? And convert it to glorifying God. You know, people are all excited about ChatGPT. My son knows about chat, and he can get the thing to write him decent stuff. And Rachel used it, and she got it to do it. And Vicky tried to use it, and all she was frustrated. They must have a different one. I don't know how it works. But somehow they click text into something and it'll think about it and do it. You can supposedly put a report in it that's 90 pages and it'll analyze it. It'll give you back, you know, the gist of it and what's good. It's artificial intelligence but it ain't that great for everybody. But it gives people the opportunity, if they know how to use it, to run it past ChatGPT or GTP, whatever it is. I don't know what it is. It's whatever. I have not yet tried it out. I do know that when I put the devotions into the dashboard of the web page, or I don't know how it works because it wasn't working for a while, but when I put the devotion in, first it will correct things or try to correct things because it doesn't always like what I have to say, but I like what I have to say, so I exit that and keep that. Then when I go to email, the email will check my spelling and check things, and it'll put up something, and then I will fix it if I like to fix it, or if they, you know, you understand, these things don't really know God. They don't know God, and so it's not their first priority when it fixes things. But then they do learn that I know God, and so they don't think it's so strange when I'm putting God in everything. And so they give up on correcting that. But when it's all done and I send it, it gives me a rating of how it likes my language skills, how it likes the readability, how it likes the flow. There's three different things, and you get a straight face, a smiley face, and a sad face. Needs work, you know. I'll figure that out sometime. I'll take time to look at it and say what, because it gives you the opportunity to fix it, but I don't have time to let it fix it and see what it says and then have to redo it. So anyway, it'll fix things. And the Holy Spirit in us will help us fix things. If that's our desire, if that's our first and foremost, do you know that we were created to reveal the glory of God? Jesus said to his Father in John 17, the prayer of Jesus, he said, "And now, Father, glorify me as I have glorified you. Come, the hour has come, Father, glorify your Son so he can give glory back to you." In the same way that he worked in Jesus, he works in us. That's got to be true. Because he said, you and me and them, that we might be one. He said, I have shown the world you, Father. I have shown the world you. And later in that prayer, he says, I'm sending them the same way you sent me. And so within us is everything that will reveal God to the world. His intention, we know this. Okay, I'm talking things that you already know, and just fight off the urge to say, yeah, I know that. Okay? Because there might be something that God speaks to your heart, like he speaks to my heart, and does some transforming, does some renewing, does some refreshing. See, in the garden, we see God the way God desired to interact with men. He made them. He walked in the garden with them. They enjoyed one another. You know? He could have uprooted those trees in the middle and saved himself all of the pain and the disappointment of them giving in to the devil. His plan was never that people give in to the devil. It was not his plan that Adam and Eve turn over the authority he had given them to the devil. It was not his plan. It was not his desire. Not by any means. Not by any means at all did he desire that. Well, he had everything all planned. He's always got a plan, but if you don't need the plan, you know, you have a spare tire in your car. You have a spare tire in case you have a flat. What percentage of people do you suspect that when they do have a flat are not sure if they even have a spare? Or how to use their jack if there is a jack. You know? We're most of us probably old enough to know about that. To know where it is and how to use it. Those were things that I went over with my kids and showed them how to change oil and things like that. But you know, you got the spare tire? Maybe. And now you've got a flat, and nowadays people say, I'll just call a road service. Well, if you got time to wait for a road service, fine, but it won't kill you to change your tire. You're prepared for it. God was prepared. He's prepared for everything. He's prepared for every mess up we make. He's prepared for every sin that we might commit. He's prepared for it, but he doesn't want it. He wants us to have what Jesus did, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That's his desire. That's his desire. Feel the filling. Feel the filling. Feel how the word comes to enter your heart. Feel how. Feel the filling. The filling of God. The filling that comes as you're on the verge of not bringing glory to God. Feel the filling. But wait a minute. You see, Jesus prepared for everything. He prepared for every circumstance. He was prepared to do what the Father said. He was prepared to face every adversity. He was prepared to answer everything. He had everything that he needed, and he was prepared to use it. We have everything that we need. Are we prepared to use it? Do we know that we have it? I'm no longer a slave to fear. Man, as I was singing that, I just had that thought, you know, we're no longer slaves to fear. We're no longer slaves to, what if God doesn't do what he said he will? What if I'm not on his healing list? You know, we're no longer slaves to that. That's fear. Those are the things that we fear. When we pray and we're not sure that it's going to be answered, we're fearful that our prayers aren't heard. Now, we don't necessarily call it fear, but that's what it is. If it's not faith, it's fear, right? So we're not a slave to that. We're subject to it. You know, it's funny. Feel the filling. That's going to speak to me. That's going to be my thing. Feel the filling, because here's the deal. Don't you feel the fear? Don't you recognize the doubt? Why do we choose the doubt and the fear? Why do we just take that on? Because that's what we expect until we no longer fear it. Expect God to be God. When Paul was preaching, the one time he said the presence of God was, the power of God was present to heal. He's in this place, and it's the power of God's present to heal. He kept looking and kept looking and kept looking and kept looking. Finally, he saw that guy. There's a guy. That guy's ready. He wants it bad enough to override his fears. And Paul said, stand up. And the guy wanted it bad enough to stand up. And of course, that got Paul in trouble. God in you may get you in trouble. May not, too. Had the privilege of doing a funeral again this week, and when the funeral was over, I went to check with the folks and to ask them, you know, you won't need me to pray at your luncheon, will you? And he said, no, that's okay. I said, I just didn't want to go. I don't do those very often. Pretty strange when I do it, you know. But anyway, and so that was what he said, and there was a lady there talking to him, and she started to tell him, I've never been to a funeral that was fun before. And you know what his first word was? He turned around and said, well, this is Roger, and he wasn't always perfect. I said, I'm still not perfect. But it was like, I just had to laugh. I just had to laugh, you know? I didn't go, well, yeah. Just did your funeral. Maybe I'll get to do yours too. No. You know, I just had to laugh because, it's funny. Rather than, you know, there were people fighting the truth. I could see people fighting the truth. But that doesn't stop the truth from going out. And that doesn't stop the truth from seeping in. The thing is unbelievers can often feel the filling better than believers can. And they're going, no, but they can feel it coming at them because the truth makes them free. But we have to be cautious when we're believers that we just don't really already know everything. And since we already know everything, this couldn't be for me. Well, maybe it's not for you, but it's for me. Are you glorifying God? I've enjoyed, Vicki calls the construction crew over here now, they're our new neighbors. She says, our new neighbors are noisy. I said, they're a good crew. I chase crews, they're a good crew. I told them, I said, I wouldn't be a bit surprised if they were there on Sunday. Sure, she came out, I had my headphones in, I was reading the Bible and listening to the music and stuff. She came and she said, you were right. First thing they did was drop a bump of pipes and make noise. And she said, I didn't hear one swear word. It must be what they meant to do. Maybe they didn't swear because they didn't. So I went over and talked to them. I told them, I said, you guys are a good crew. I figured, I told my wife, you guys will be here, the sunshine, and you'll be working. I know about crews. He said, yep, we'll be here. He said, the Mexican isn't here yet, but I think he'll be here. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, give God glory. Lord, let our lives give you glory. You know? Are we manifesting what is in us? Are we manifesting what is in us? Sometimes yes, maybe sometimes no. That's why I said I couldn't say absolutely that's what I do. I manifest what's in. Well, maybe I do. The Bible says out of the heart comes things. So if I manifest something that isn't him, I must have some things that shouldn't be in. Huh? It's a good cause. It's a good cause to seek the Lord and be all that we can. Be all that we can. Folks, this is the very most important thing of all time to each person: draw near to God. See, we can lose a little track of that because we've drawn close to God and we've experienced God and we've felt His presence and we've been filled with the Holy Spirit and we've done all those things. And yet other things just can jump up in front of it. Because, you know, we got things to do. You know? Well, we do. And God knows that. But can't we have God first everywhere we go, doing everything we do? I mean, we can. The question is it important to us? Is it important? You know? We were watching another one of the Chosens, and it was the one where Jesus was telling them, I'm going to send you out. And the rules that he was going to send them out with. And they were explaining that that's really not the way how to do it. He said, but you're going to. They could still try without his plans. But I think somewhere in the midst of trying without his plans, they would feel the filling. And they would say, he doesn't mess up. We need to tune this up a little bit, you know. You got to tune things. I brought my tuner for my guitar home because the battery went dead. And I didn't have my tuner on my guitar when I got back to jail on Wednesday. And I had to tune it the old-fashioned way. And tuning it the old-fashioned way is a whole different story. I can still hear it, but that thing will just put it on. I turn it gets to the right place. The light turns green. Everything's just great. But I got there, and I blew it. I didn't get that changed. Last night, God reminded me to put a battery in the one I brought home, put it back in my bag. Today, I will get there, and I will have it tuned. It needed to be tuned up. I know what's not tuned. I absolutely do know what's not tuned, and so I then tune it. If I'll tune my guitar, this is easy as can be. You know? Take the time to go, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. That'll interrupt anything that wasn't going to bring glory to God. You know? Whoop, 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 whoop. You know? Is it important to us? It should be important to us. And we should be very, very, very aware of it. And we should not settle for, well, God knows my heart. You can do better than your heart. We can do better. This isn't a scolding or an admonition or anything. It's just a simple fact. Think about that. If we're willing to speak or act or think in a way that doesn't glorify God, it must be because we choose not to. And if it happens to go the wrong way, we should recognize it. If you love Jesus, there just aren't any whoops. You know? We might do whoops. But, you know, if you just whoops something, it's no big deal. You just keep going. It's not a whoops when it comes to that with God. It's not, well, man. No, it's a real thing. It's a very real thing. I mean, Peter said the most nicest thing to Jesus. Oh, don't do this, Master. You can't do this. And Jesus said, get me behind me, Satan. You're worried about the things of man and not the things of God. Do you ever worry about the things of man more than the things of God? Yeah, we do. But we stop when we slide them into God's positioning system. When we put it in for him to correct our thinking, we put it into him for us to redirect the thing. It's perfect. You know, these artificial intelligence and things, you know, they think they've really managed something, but they're so far behind God. And they know that they're behind God. They're just doing everything they can to keep from committing themselves to God. But one way or another, I'm going to get you, you know? One way or another, God is determined. You know, we sing that song that says, with open hands and an outstretched arm. For everyone who has been reborn. And we love that as Christians. But here's the thing that came to my mind. It ain't just the ones that have been reborn. With an open hand and an outstretched arm, he's reaching out to the people that you would be the last one to ever say a word to about God. The ones you don't want to say a word to about God because they might be converted and saved. You know? Well, that's biblical. That's biblical. The Bible says, the prophet said, you know, I'm going to dull your eyes and dull your ears lest you should come to know the truth and be saved. See, God doesn't want to save everybody. No, that's not it at all. Somebody ought to read that and go, wait a second. Why can't I be saved? Wait a second. What do you mean he's going to blind my eyes? Wait a second. What do you mean he's going to dull my ears? Wait a second. Great understanding. You're feeling the filling. Yes, you're saying, I can hear, and I can see, and I can taste, and I can touch. You know, the Ethiopian bookkeeper, he said, is there any reason I can't be saved? Is there any reason? No, of course you can be saved. Of course you can be saved. Wow, it sounded to me like God didn't want to save me. No, he got your attention. Whatever it takes to get your attention. This morning as I was reading my Bible, my chronological Bible, it's the Song of Solomon. I have to tell you, You have to have a spiritual imagination to put spiritual things in there. I'm sorry. But it got the canon vote. I'm not going where I think about that. But, I look at that, and I can find some places where, I'll rise and seek the one I love. I'll rise and I'll seek the Lord. I'll find him and I'll never let him go, you know. But you have to organize your thinking to get that whole thing to be something that should be canon. And I don't care. I'll listen to it. I'll look for something good in it, but it has a lot of pictures in it that you better be grounded before you're reading that. Because I've had people say to me, what's that? I was reading this book. I said, why are you reading that book? Read the New Testament about 12 times before you read that book. You know, why did you find that book? Because a lost person thinks it might be porn. Sorry, it's just the truth. But I'm not going to quit reading the Bible because that one confuses me a little bit. They're not going to give up on what God wants from us. And I can see that Jesus wanted God to glorify him with the glory that he had before. And he wanted him to glorify him so he could give glory to God, because when he raised him from the dead, God got some glory. He said, "Now, Lord, glorify these and all who will come to know the Lord through these, Lord. They're going to bring me glory." He knew when he hung on the cross, before he hung on the cross, because he prayed before he hung on the cross, he knew you were going to bring him glory. He knew that everyone that would choose life would bring him glory. That we could bring, you can bring glory to God. You know, that praise that you might want from another form and all that kind of stuff, it's good. There's nothing necessarily wrong with that. But man, you can get heaven shouting. I tell you, the people in the jail, they just really like that idea that when they get up to come to chapel, the halls are lined with people just cheering for them. Cheering them on. There's a cloud of witnesses that every time somebody looks to God, they're blockers. They're linemen making a way for them to break through, and they're excited. They're anticipating. They're just waiting. They're waiting for that word to touch their hearts. They're waiting to see them go, "Oh." I got to pray for the girl that was wondering about anger, and I laid hands on her and I prayed for her, and the girl two over got it as well as she did. She was just crying. I said, "That's why you hang out at altars, because you can get the overflow." I said, you got that, didn't you? And she was just crying. She couldn't talk. The presence of God is there to deliver and to do abundantly above and beyond what we can hope or imagine. We need to think about those things. We need to think about those things. We need to think about what we think about. Before we say what we think about, we need to think about. We need to consider, am I bringing God glory? Am I bringing God glory? We learn these things when we were little kids. We learned with flashcards. Your times and your gazintas and all of those things, you know. The stuff that we went to school and learned, like if we see a 2 and a 2, we know it's 4. Plus or times, we know it's 4. Or it's 1 because it's divided, you know. We know about those kind of things, you know. We don't have to pull out a calculator for 4 times 4 to check our work. How'd we get that? We did them over and over and over and over and over and over again. And we enjoyed it when we got a way to go from mom or dad, or whenever we, you know, that was, oh, yeah. God's ready at any moment and every moment to glorify you for bringing him glory so that you can give him more glory, to make your light. I am yours, you are mine. I'm the cup, pour in new wine. I'm a candle, you make me shine. You see, when we consider these things, when we get it up to the importance, when we come here together like this and we move it up in importance, and we feel the filling, and now we've got it, and now we're available to it any time to have that pop up and then to push out what's wrong and perform what's right. Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may also glorify you. It's not preposterous to say to the Lord, "Glorify me so I can glorify you." Because Jesus wasn't doing that so he'd be raised above the Father. He just said, glorify me so that I can glorify you. And I'm going to glorify you because I'm going to be in a whole bunch of people. And that whole bunch of people is going to glorify you. And I'm going to be praying for them, and they're going to be glorified. They're going to experience me. They're going to feel the feeling. I'm going to have a whole bunch. I'm going to have a whole bunch. When we gather, I'll just tell you, I think that they say, see, there they are again. There they are again. What did he say to you, Judy? He just enjoys the worship. Enjoys the worship, you know? He's got a billion people out there that know him and worship him, but he took the time to say, I want you to know I enjoy your worship. We can please God. Glorify God. We can overrule those things that don't glorify God. It's what's important to us. What's important to you? Glory, glory, glory. Father, thank you. You are important to us. Thank you for reminding us that we just change the order of things until you are at the top of those. Because we want, absolutely want to bring you glory. Absolutely want to magnify your name. Absolutely want you more than anything. We really, 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 really do, Lord. We do. We do. And so we submit ourselves to you to complete this good work that you've begun in us. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Additions or corrections are always welcome.